In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Some of you may be members of this congregation for a long time. Some of you might have just recently joined. Some of you have the time and ability to do a lot of volunteer work here at church. Others of you, because of how far you live away or time restraints, can only be here on a Sunday morning. Some of you know everyone in church. Others of you are still trying to put a name to a face. But regardless of who you are, or how long you have been a member of this congregation, I hope that this statement is true of you. I hope that you care about this congregation. I hope that you pray for this congregation or any congregation that you are a part of. For this congregation is important. Why? Because this congregation is a part of Christ's church. And there is nothing more important than being a part of Christ's church. For look at our text from the book of Acts. It takes place immediately after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples actually did what they were told to do. They went to Jerusalem to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. But as they were waiting for this gift of the Holy Spirit, did you notice that there are only 11 apostles? You can read through the list of names there in Acts chapter 1. There's only 11 of them, not 12, as has been the case previously. Why? Well, you know the story of Judas Iscariot, right? Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. Even though he was Jesus's friend, even though he had followed Jesus for 3 years and had heard the preaching and seen all the miracles, Judas still decided to betray Jesus. He still decided to take 30 pieces of silver and tell Jesus's enemies exactly where Jesus was so that his enemies could arrest Jesus. And the reason that Judas betrayed Jesus is actually quite simple. The reason that Judas betrayed Jesus? Well, it's that Judas was an unbeliever. Judas rejected the message that Jesus was proclaiming. Judas did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's proven by what happened after he felt remorse over his sin. For that very night he betrayed Jesus, Judas actually felt really bad about it. He had guilt. He had sorrow. But instead of confessing his sins, confident that Jesus would wash them away in his blood, Judas went away and hanged himself. He had no hope, no peace, no comfort, only guilt. And so he took his own life. And when Judas took his own life, something terrible happened to Judas. Judas went to hell, where he is currently suffering. As Peter said, Judas turned away to go to his own place. Yes, Judas is one of the few people in all of Scripture that we're explicitly told is in hell. And so as you think about that entire episode of Judas, including his suffering in hell, does it bring maybe a little anxiety into your life? Especially as you think of the future of your congregation? For hell is a terrible place. It's so bad, we can't even imagine how terrible it is. As bad as you think hell is, it's actually worse. And as this whole episode of Judas points out, it's where unbelievers go when they die. For all who are unbelievers are rejecting Christ as Judas did. And if they reject Christ as Judas did, they're still in their sins as Judas was. And if they're still in their sins, how can they be in the presence of a holy and righteous God? They can't. And so I ask you again, as you think about this whole story of Judas, including his suffering in hell, does it bring a little anxiety into your life, especially as you think about the future of this congregation? For this congregation is important to you. For this congregation is the place where you go to receive life. This congregation is the place where you go to be spared from death and hell. For this congregation is the place where you and your family come also that you can receive Christ. For through the word that is preached here and through the sacraments that are administered here, you receive Christ who died and who rose for you. And when you receive Christ who died and rose for you, you receive all the blessings that Christ won for you, including the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It does not matter what sins you have committed. Jesus has forgiven them all. It does not matter how often you have committed sins. Jesus has forgiven them all. It doesn't even matter if you were to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus could forgive that sin as well. And if Jesus has won forgiveness for each and every sin that you have ever committed, which he most definitely has, and if Jesus gives you that forgiveness by appearing to you through the word and through the sacrament here at church, well then do you see why this congregation is important to you? Do you see why you need a place to go where you know you're going to hear God's word and receive his sacrament? Do you see why you should be concerned about the future of this congregation? Do you see why this future is so important to you? For you need a place to go to hear God's word and receive his sacraments. You and your family, they need a place to go so that you can receive Jesus and receive all the blessings he has won for you, including forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's why this congregation is so important to you and to your family. Because what's going to happen if this congregation starts to struggle? What's going to happen if this congregation faces hardships or difficulties, if Satan starts attacking it, or if the world tries to influence it? What's going to happen if there starts to be some changes in this congregation? Maybe a pastor takes a call and leave and you have to get a new pastor? If any of those things happen, can you still be certain that this is a place where you can go, where you can receive life and be spared from the torments of hell? It's important to always ask that question as you think about this congregation. It's important to always be certain of whether or not this congregation is a congregation that you can go to receive Jesus so that you can receive life and be spared from the torments of hell. But as you ask that question and think about the future of this congregation, there is no reason for you to be anxious. There's no reason for you to be worried and wondering what might happen because the devil or this world is going to attack this congregation. There's no reason for you to be worried about that. Why? It's because this congregation is a part of Christ's church. As long as it's preaching the true word of God and faithfully administering the sacraments, it is a part of Christ's church. Christ is the one who created it by shedding his holy and precious blood. Christ is the one who established it by rising victoriously from the grave. And therefore, we can be certain that Christ is the one who will preserve this congregation. He will lead it and guide it and direct it so that you and as many people as possible can be saved. That's the promise that Christ gives to all congregations that are a part of his church. And as proof of how Christ does that for his church on earth, Let's go back to our text. For do you remember at the beginning of our text, do you remember that there are only 11 apostles named? There weren't 12 because Judas betrayed Jesus and hung himself and is now suffering in hell. And so they needed another apostle, for as Peter pointed out, the psalm said, let someone else take his position. So they chose two men who met all the qualifications. These two men confess Christ. These two men were with Christ his entire ministry. These two men even saw the resurrected Christ with their eyes. And then, after choosing these two men, they did something that might seem a little strange to us today. They didn't have a discussion and cast a vote as we good Americans do. Instead, they cast lots. They played a game of chance, confident that the Lord of the church would direct the lot to the right person, and that's exactly what happened, for we read, the lot fell to Matthias, so he was counted among the 11 apostles. Do you see how Christ preserves his church? For in this particular instance, it was not just chance that the lot fell to Matthias, but the Lord of the church, in his infinite wisdom, knew that Matthias was the right man to replace Judas as an apostle. And by all accounts, Matthias served very faithfully as apostle, for according to church tradition, he faithfully preached the gospel to many Gentiles, especially in the area of Ethiopia, until he was stoned and beheaded for his confession in Christ. Truly, the Lord of the church knew what he was doing when he directed Matthias to be that apostle that replaced Judas. Truly, the Lord of the church knows what he is doing when he guides and directs this congregation today. For remember, this is Christ's church. As long as the true word of God is being proclaimed, as long as the sacraments are being faithfully administered, this is Christ's church. And since it is Christ's church, he is the one who is in charge of it. He is leading it. He is guiding it. He is directing it. That's his promise. And so while it might be true that we don't know what might happen in the next year, or 5 or 10 years in this congregation, we don't know if it's going to grow or shrink according to the standards of this world. We don't know if we're going to face some sort of a struggle, if Satan's going to bring some fierce attack against us to try to divide this congregation. We don't know how long the pastor might stay, or if he might take a call and you might get a new pastor. We don't know the answers to any of those questions about what may happen in the future of this congregation. But we do know this. We know this is Christ's church. We know he's the one who created it by his blood. He's the one who established it by rising from the grave. He's the one who's leading and guiding and directing it. Maybe especially he leads and guides and directs it by making sure that the right called worker is in the right place for the right amount of time. For ever since he chose Matthias to replace Judas, he has been leading his called workers to go exactly where they should be for the right amount of time, for it's his church, and so he knows exactly what needs to happen. And that's why, in the end, there's no reason for us to be filled with any anxiety as we think about the future of this congregation. Despite the fact that we may not know what might happen in the next year, or 5, or 10, there is no reason for us to be worried about the direction of this congregation. For this is Christ's church. And as long as it is proclaiming the true word of God, and as long as it is faithfully administering the sacraments, it will always be Christ's church. Christ will lead it and guide it and direct it. All so that you and your family and as many other as possible might be spared from the torments of death and given eternal life in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith, as is printed using the creed in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.